and give my Bible on the bed. You can give my Bible.
Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you for your compassion toward us. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us in righteousness. Thank you for the operations and the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and joy that fills our hearts and minds. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for destroying all the works of the devil that were formed against us. Thank you for uprooting evil seeds that the enemy planted into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for solving difficult problems in our lives and situations. Thank you for subduing Satan and all his agents under our feet. Thank you for giving us revelations and understanding of your word, of your truth. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for those things you have taught us through the previous Bible study classes. We thank you for how our spiritual lives have been enriched and edified through those teachings. Thank you, Father. Father, we are here this evening to learn from you again, to hear your word, your teachings. We ask that you speak to everyone in the name of Jesus. Let the entrance of your word enlighten our hearts and minds in the name of Jesus. As we learn, let there be growth in our spiritual lives. Let there be maturity in our spiritual lives. In the name of Jesus. Have your way in this place, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at a new topic today, which is continuation of what we have been discussing for some time now. We have been looking at our attitude toward worldly values, which is point number three on the broad topic that says the Christian's relationship, the Christian's relationship to society. So today we are looking at a topic that says don't compromise or tolerate godly ways. Don't compromise or tolerate ungodly ways. Which implies that you do not embrace ungodly ways. You should not follow ungodly ways. You should not allow ungodliness to creep into your life in whatever form it might be taking. Yeah, because ungodliness can take different forms. Sometimes it can come in a form that looks so appealing to your feelings and emotions. Unrighteousness, ungodliness can come in a form that looks very enticing and captivating to your human feelings and senses and desires, your lust, your cravings, your carnal cravings, human cravings. So unrighteousness can come in a form that will look so interesting and appealing to your desires, your fleshly desires. So that is why you must be careful. You must watch out. You must watch out for ungodly ways. This world is full of those ways. The people in the world, they walk in those ways. They walk in ungodly ways, wicked ways, unrighteous ways, unholy ways, immoral ways, evil ways, sinful ways, unclean ways. Those are the ways the people in this world walk in. And that is not the way God has called us to walk in. So we must be careful. We must be watchful. We must be sensitive to avoid these ungodly ways. You must be sensitive to identify these ungodly ways. Yeah. So the topic once again says, don't compromise or tolerate ungodly ways. Don't compromise. Don't tolerate ungodly ways. I think some time ago I shared a teaching. Yeah, I think it was in form of writing. I was typing those teachings. Yeah, and when I was doing that teaching, I was giving an example of a situation that happened in a church I was attending some time ago, some time back. Yeah, we were having, I think we were having a Sunday school class, a Sunday school session. Yeah, this is a kind of a teaching session or teaching class that we do early on Sunday morning before the Sunday worship service. Yeah. Some of you might be familiar with that. I don't know if they do that in your church. Yeah, so it's a kind of a class session that is being done earlier before the Sunday worship service. So in that Sunday school class, someone asked the question. The person said there was this woman who was married. The husband, they were strong believers, strong Christians, but they got married. And when they got married, the husband was in agreement with a mode of dressing. Yeah, because the woman was warned by the Holy Spirit to stop dressing like the people in the world. Yeah, like the women in the world. Yeah, the woman was warned by the Holy Spirit to stop wearing all these attachments, jewelry, makeup, all these seducing or seductive attires. Seductive clothes. Yeah, all those fitted trousers. Yeah, many of you know those seductive dresses that women put on. Those dresses that leave some of those dresses leave the chest open, and then you could see part of the breast outside. Yeah. And then some of those dresses leaves the thigh open, the laps open. So the woman was warned by the Holy Spirit to do not wear those dresses. And then, after some years in marriage, the brother she married suddenly start demanding that his wife put on those seductive dresses, those earrings, jewelry, those ornaments, yeah, those beauty ornaments, makeup, hair extensions, all of those stuff, cosmetics. Yeah, all those artificial beauty that women do. So the brother started demanding that the wife use those things. Yeah, so the person asking the question in this on the school class was asking that, what should the woman do in that case? Should the woman listen to the husband? Should the sister listen to the brother, husband? Or listen to God, who had told her to never use those things before she got married? Yeah. But I was surprised. I was surprised to hear one of the pastors. Yeah, one of the pastors in the church. Yeah, because I wasn't a pastor in the church. Yeah, sometimes I just assist with some ministerial work, but I wasn't ordained in the church. Yeah, but I was surprised when one of the pastors stood up and said, the woman should listen to the husband and not obey the warning of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. Yeah, I was disappointed when that pastor made the comment. I was so disappointed. Yeah, so that is compromise. Yeah. The pastor was asking, I mean, pastor who gave that comment on that day is in that moment working for the devil. Yeah, working for Satan. Yeah, because what Satan wants is compromise. Satan wants Christians to end in compromise. He wants you to go back into those things God had told you before that you should not do, things you should not wear, things you should not touch, things you should not even think about in your mind. Satan wants you to return back to those things. Yeah. So I was surprised to hear the pastor giving that comment. Yeah, because that comment is exalting the husband above the commandments of God. marriage. Yeah, because the pastor was saying the woman have to save her marriage. Yeah, so to save her marriage, she have to do what the husband has to do. That is very wrong. Very wrong. Because there is no marriage. There is no marriage in heaven. Yeah. So why lose your soul? Because you want to save your marriage. And then you are ready to lose your soul to hellfire. Because you want to save your marriage. Yeah. That's foolishness. Yeah, so we must reject compromise. The things you have said goodbye to when you made a decision to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus. Don't go back to embrace those things. Don't go back to look for those things. If you try that, then you are embracing compromise. Then you are not fit for God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. And I want us to read Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 60 to 62. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read from verse 60 to 62. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Okay, maybe I should read from verse 59, Luke chapter 9. I will read from verse 59. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. That is, Jesus said to that person, follow me. But he said, that is, the person replied and said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We can see those two scenarios here. The first man said, I want to go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. That is, Jesus exalted the preaching of the gospel are both family affairs, family issues. I've had some people say that they say my family come first, then after my family, then the work of God comes next. They say my family comes first, then after that ministry. That's a false teaching. It's not biblical that your family comes first. Then after that, the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's not biblical. God and his kingdom comes first. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say, seek ye first the need of family. No. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So family don't come first. It comes second, not first. God and his work and his kingdom must come first. I was hearing someone preaching online, and then the person was saying, if anyone invites him to preach the gospel somewhere, he's a pastor. But if anyone invites him to preach somewhere, and his wife did not allow him to go, that he's not going to go there and preach because his family come first. And I begin to wonder, are these people not reading the Bible? Here in the Bible, it's not written. In all of you, you know, this is a discussion class. If you think I am wrong, if you think there's a place in the Bible that says that your family comes first before the work of God, you can tell me in the comment section if there's anywhere in the Bible that says you should obey your family first before you obey God. And that says you should obey your wife or your husband first before you obey Jesus. If there's any verse in the Bible that supports that, I would like to hear from any of you. I'm hoping to learn. I'm someone that really like to learn new things. So maybe I have not seen that place yet in the Bible. So you can probably put it in the comment section if you feel like I'm wrong. If you feel like I'm wrong. Because up to now, I've not seen anywhere in the Bible that says obey your family first. That is fine. The need of your family and family members. First, before you satisfy the need of God, there's nothing that in the Bible. There was a place in the scriptures where the family members of Jesus came to where Jesus was ministering. And then some people went to Jesus and tell him that your brothers and sisters, your siblings are looking for you. Your mother, your family members are looking for you. And Jesus told them, he said, you people here, listening to my teaching, my preaching, and my brothers and sisters, and mothers. He said, anyone that obeyed the word of God, that does the will of God, is his family member. So we can see in this passage Jesus telling that man to let the dead bury their dead. To let the dead bury their dead. What it means is that let the spiritually dead bury their dead. Since that is important to them. It's not as if Jesus is against you burying your parents after they have grown old and die and have died. It's not like Jesus is against that. No. But what Jesus is saying is that burying the dead is not as important. I mean, what Jesus was trying to show that man is that you going back to bury your father is not as important as you preaching the kingdom of God. You going back to bury your father should not be the first in this situation. Because the preaching of the kingdom demands urgent attention. But Jesus was telling him that give the preaching of the kingdom more importance in your life. Give it the first priority and not burying your father. So that is, there are people, probably the father had maybe 8 children. So there are other people that could bury this father. So he doesn't have to be there. That was what Jesus was trying to show him. That there are people at home in your father's house that can do it. So you don't have to go. You focus on your calling, the business of God, the business of heaven. You focus on that one. Forget about going to bury tell your father. So it's not like Jesus is against you doing your responsibility to your parents. Of course, you know, the Bible says, honor your father and mother in the Lord. Yeah, the Bible supports honoring your parents. So even Jesus supports that, but not at the expense of the work of God. I don't know if you are getting the point. So Jesus supports honoring your parents, doing your responsibilities to your parents and family members, and to your wife, to your children. Yeah, Jesus supports that. The Bible supports that. But that must not come first. God and his calling must come first. Yeah, God and his assignment must come first. Yeah, so it is compromise if you put what should come next first. It is compromise. Yeah, it is compromise. If you put first what should not be put first, it is compromise. It is ungodly. But many Christians don't care. Yeah. In fact, many Christians, they have made their marriage idol. They have made their marriages idols. So they put the marriage first and not God. Yeah, they put the marriage first and not God's kingdom. Yeah, we must not make that mistake. So when you put things that should not be first, you have compromised. Yeah, God and his kingdom must come first. Then every other thing can follow. Yeah, I've seen people that God himself destroyed their marriages. God himself scattered the marriage because one of the partners has exalted the marriage above God. So God now begins to allow troubles to happen in the marriage. God now allows Satan enter into the marriage, and God allows Satan to scatter the marriage. Why? Because one of the couples or one of the partners in the marriage have exalted the marriage above God and above the work of God. So marriage is not above ministry. Marriage doesn't come first before ministry. Ministry comes first. After God is ministry. Then after ministry, marriage. So that is why if you are going into marriage and you already know your purpose, your calling, your ministry, you have to ask God to give you someone that will not stop you from serving him. So serving God comes first before marriage. Yeah. Because if you try to replace marriage with if you start to replace ministry and serving God with marriage, you're going to lose that marriage. Because God is going to curse that marriage. It becomes idol. It becomes idolatry. And God is going to make sure the marriage does not last. And even if it lasts, well, God will send both you and your spouse to hellfire eventually. Yeah, so we must be careful. Yeah, and stop believing those lies. Yeah, like this, like the story I shared with you earlier. The pastor was saying the woman have to save her marriage and disobey God to save her marriage. Yeah, you need to be sensitive to those lies. Save your soul. Yeah, don't try to save your marriage and lose your soul. There's no marriage in heaven. And of course, there's no marriage in hell. Yeah, so it is compromise when you try to put first what should not come first. In fact, it becomes idolatry when you exalt something above God. Yeah, it becomes idolatry. Now, I know there's a place in the Bible that says that. That says, before you give a leadership position to a man, that man must be an husband of one wife. And that man must be a man that is able to rule over his family. Put his family in good shape. That man must be a man that have authority over his children, that is all his children. They listen to him, they obey him. Yeah, but that is not saying that that is not saying that you are exalting family above ministry. That is just showing that you must have done that through the grace and help of God. You must have put your family in order. Make sure peace is reigning and ruling before you pick up a leadership position. Now, because I know of people that misinterpret the word of God, and then they say, what about that place in the Bible that says, a man that cannot rule over his house, how will he rule over the church? Yeah, so we must make sure that everything is going well in our house before we attend to those business. Yeah, people can misinterpret that. What that place in the Bible is saying is that before you assume the position, he's not saying while you have assumed the leadership position. It's saying before anyone should be considered for any leadership position, that person must have such a record. Yeah. Through the grace of God, that person must be able to have a marriage, a peaceful marriage, a peaceful family, have a wife that fears God, have children that fears God. Yeah, so which is the grace of God that would do that. It's not in the hand of that man to do that. But he can do that by the grace of God. Yeah. Yeah. So that scripture is not saying if God has given the man an assignment, so he should now stay at home first and try to satisfy the people at home before going for the assignment. Yeah, that's not what that scripture means. Yeah, you don't satisfy human beings when God He's asking you to satisfy him. And then you're saying, let me satisfy human beings first before I satisfy God. That is wrong. That is wrong. And as a matter of fact, you can't even have a godly home except God help you. Yeah, you can't have children that will be godly except God help you. Yeah. So if you obey God, God will make sure that your home, your marriage, your family, your children, God will make sure that they live in godliness. God will make sure that they don't become a problem to the assignment he has given to you. Yeah, if you obey God. Not if you leave God and want and try to satisfy those people in your family. Yeah, so we must get it right. Yeah. So if you obey God and follow God, God will make sure that your spouse doesn't affect your calling and your ministry. So even if Satan tried to use your spouse against you, God will visit your spouse and correct him or her. Yeah. So we should not now put God aside and say, my family come first. I need to fix my family. Can you even fix anything? Do you have the power to fix anything? Only God can fix everything. Yeah. So you should put God first and put his commandments, his instructions first, including what he has commanded you to do for him. So they come first. I've seen some women that they want to give to God. And then they will say, I actually want to give to God, but my husband does not like it. My husband does not like me giving to God, paying tithe, supporting God's work. My husband don't like it. And then for months, in fact, for years, some of them, they are not giving to God. And they think their spiritual lives will be all right. It can never be all right. Not even spiritual lives. Their financial lives will never be all right. Yeah, because giving is part of your worship to God. Your giving is part of your service to God. Your worship to God. And then they are saying, because my husband don't like it. You have to do it. Yeah. God will not say because your husband don't like you to support God's work with your money. Not his money. That's a different case. Let's say it's your husband's money. Yeah. So if the money you are spending is coming from your husband, and the husband say, I don't want you to give this money to the work of God, fine. It's your husband's money. So don't give it to God. But I'm talking about your own money. Yeah. You have to give it to God. Whether anybody likes it or not. Because it is part of your worship. Yeah. It is part of your service to God. Yeah. So we have to be careful make sure that we are doing the will of God. We have to be careful to make sure that our lives are pleasing to God. Yeah, don't compromise. Don't compromise. It is better to offend man than to offend God. Yeah, the fact that God is quiet and he doesn't respond immediately we do things that are wrong doesn't mean he's not actually responding. Yeah. The fact that he doesn't respond physically doesn't mean he's not responding. The fact that you are not seeing God's judgment happen instantly doesn't mean the judgment is not happening. Yeah, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. I think I'm done with this verses. Okay, the second case in verse 61, Luke chapter 9, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, what can we learn from that case? We can learn that your relationship with the kingdom of God is a personal journey. Your journey to the kingdom or your journey in the kingdom is personal. It has nothing to do with anybody around you. It has nothing to do with anybody in your family or maybe a friend. It's personal. Some people, they know God wants them to do something, but they are waiting for people around them to approve first. In fact, some of them will go and ask a friend, do you think if I start doing this, do you think it makes sense? God told you to do something. You're asking a friend if it makes sense. That's an insult to God. So your relationship with God is personal and doesn't require any human approval. Yeah, whatever instruction God has given to you, whatever commandment God has given to you is personal. So you don't need to go and ask some people and tell them, guys, God has called me. God has given me this work. I actually want to be with you guys, but you know, God has called me. and I have to leave this environment because he has sent me somewhere far. You don't need all of that. You don't need all of that. You don't need all of that. Your commitment to God is personal. You don't need anybody's validation or approval. to serve God and please God. Yeah, even if it's only you doing that thing and everyone seems to be against it, you have to continue to do it. Yeah, so that man was asking to go and say farewell, to go and say bye-bye to people at home. And Jesus said, you don't look back when you have started something in God's kingdom. You don't look back. You continue. Yeah, you continue. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding. More understanding. In Jesus' name. So now let's look at Exodus 23. Remember that our topic says, don't compromise or tolerate ungodly ways. Exodus 23, verse 32 to 33. Exodus 23, 32 to 33. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Yeah, if you read verse 31, you will see God saying he's going to deliver the inhabitants of the land into the hands of the Israelites, and that they would drive them out of that land. So God told them ahead that these people, what to do with them is to drive them out of the land. Because I have given the land to you, the Israelites. Drive them out of the land. Don't make covenant with them, nor with their gods. Don't make any truce or agreement with them. Don't make peace with them. Drive them out. God said, they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make this sin against me. So God already knows what will happen if the Israelites disobey the instruction. Yeah. Verse 33 says, for if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Yeah, but those of you that are Bible students, you discover that the Israelites did not completely drive all those people out of the land. And eventually, they began to mix with those people. Intermarry those people, marrying them. They began to exchange their sons and daughters with those people. And eventually those people began to make them sin against God. And they began to serve the gods of those people. So if you look at the gods that the Israelites served, they were no strange gods. Or new gods. They were the gods the people in the land God sent them to drive out and slaughter. They were the gods those people were serving. Was it Ashtaroth, Baal, all those gods the Israelites were serving? They were the gods, or the same gods, the people God sent them to destroy and drive out of the land were serving. Yeah, so you can see that God gave the warning ahead of time, but they ignore the warning. You know, sometimes Christians think they are wiser than God. I've seen people come to me for counseling, and then they will say, are you saying that doing this is also wrong? Is it really wrong? Are you saying I can't do this as a Christian? I will tell them, I'm not the one saying this is the Bible. So I'll tell them, look at the Bible. You can't be a Christian and do this. Are you saying it's wrong? Is it really wrong? This is what people do. So many times we try to play wisdom with God. Yeah. So when I look at those people, I just shake my head, because they don't even know what it means to follow God and serve God. Yeah, I'm sure that was the mistake the Israelites made. So they thought maybe when they eventually enter the land and start interacting with those people, and they feel like, oh, these people, they don't really look bad as God told us. These people don't really look bad. In fact, look at their women, very beautiful. Look at their men, very handsome. And God said we should kill these people, we cast them out. I'm sure some of them begin to think, why is God that wicked? The God of mercy on the generation of human beings. Yeah. So they began to approach the word of God with the human wisdom. So they feel like, I mean, they felt like, I don't think it's a bad thing to fellowship with these people. And then they began to study the religion, the idolatry they were doing, and then they feel like, we can also try this. It's not so different from the way we also worship God. That was how they ended up having those idols, and they provoked God to anger. Yeah, so we must be very careful. Don't try to interpret the Bible to suit your own carnal interest, your own selfish desires. Don't do that. If you do that, you cannot make heaven, because you will end in hell automatically. Yeah. So don't think you are wiser than the word of God. Just like what some churches are doing today. They say, we are trying to win these people who are worldly, we are trying to win them to Christ. And then they say, because they are trying to win the worldly people to Christ, they say, yeah, you people just come as you are, God loves you. And then these people begin to dress half naked into the church. There is no order, there is no law to correct that. And not only that, these people begin to bring their music styles, music sounds, music beats, Music, languages, I mean worldly music languages. Worldly music beats, they begin to bring it inside the church. And when you ask the leaders, what are you doing? They say, we are trying to win them to God, win their souls. You are trying to win their souls by embracing their darkness. Is that how to win the souls in darkness? How can you win those in darkness by embracing their darkness? And then some people will say, we need to devise a strategy to win the souls of young men and women. So what we are going to do is we are going to invite a comedian. And then this comedian will come and perform in the church and make people laugh. And then when the comedian comes, this is a comedian that is not born again, and everything he or she will be saying is completely worldly. And this person will stand on the pulpit, giving out jokes, making the people laugh, and then they say, yes, we are using a strategy. We are using a strategy to win the youths to Jesus. That is a big foolishness. A big error. Yeah. How can you win those in darkness? By surrendering to their darkness. It's impossible. You cannot be in darkness to win those in darkness. You will be in the light to pull out those in darkness. Yeah, so a lot of compromise going on in these last days. And God is warning you right now. Yes, you, all of you that are hearing my voice right now, God is warning you about this compromise. If you want to stand for Jesus, stand and stand strong. But if you don't want, then just leave Jesus alone. It's not by force. Go and enjoy the word. Yeah. Go and enjoy Satan. Yeah, so if you want to stay in the light, stay in the light. And if you don't want the light, leave the light. Yeah, Jesus said, you wish that you are cold, or hot. But he said, there are these people who are neither cold nor hot. You can read it, it's in the book of Revelation. He said he's going to spew them out of his mouth. That this is going to push them out. It's going to disconnect them from grace. Yeah, so if you want to stand for Jesus, stand. And if you don't, leave Jesus alone. Yeah. And go and enjoy the world. It's simple. Yeah, it's not by force that you should make heaven and reign with Christ in his kingdom. It's not by force. Yeah, it's a choice. It's a choice. Yeah, you don't have to make heaven. Honestly, it's a choice. Yeah, hell is there. Yeah, so it's not a must that you have to serve Jesus and please Jesus. It's not a must. Yeah, so in fact, it becomes, or maybe I should use the word, you put yourself in more danger when you put one leg in the light and one leg in darkness. You're doing yourself more harm. If you want the light, go for the light. And if you want the darkness, just go. Yeah, at least you will know that I'm in darkness and I know that it's hell I'm going. You will know that. We have people like that. They already know where they are going. And they are okay with it. They know they are going to hell. and they are okay with it. In fact, they tell you that I know where I'm going. Yeah, but why waste your time as a Christian? You are neither in the light and neither in darkness. You're wasting your time. So I believe in these last days, we really have to choose who we want to serve. Yeah, we really have to choose. I pray that you would choose righteousness. Let us look at 1 Timothy 5. Verse 22. 1 Timothy 5. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's things. Keep thyself pure. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Now, this is Apostle Paul giving Timothy this charge. Yeah, that he should be careful with his relationship with the members in his church, because Timothy was a pastor or bishop. Yeah. So don't, because some people look nice, just as some pastors do. They follow their physical side. They don't follow the discernment of the Holy Ghost. So maybe some of them, because a member in the church is appearing to be nice, or sometimes appearing to be generous, so they try to give more attention, more ear to that person. More honor, more importance to that person than the others. They are not really appearing to do things in a way that the pastor likes. I believe you understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah, that was why Paul was saying, lay hands suddenly on no man. Like some people will come and then they say, man of God, lay hands. Impart me. Yeah. Paul is saying, watch the kind of life those people are living. Because some of them, what all they are doing is high service. Yeah. They are hypocrites. So they just appear to be nice. But inside, they are very wicked. Yeah, so Paul is saying, don't go and lay hands on wicked people. And bless them when they are not for Jesus, when the works of their hands are evil, so that you will not partake of their sins. Yeah, don't just lay hands on anyone to bless them or impart them. What if they are even witches? What if they are into witchcraft? And then you go and bless them. That means their witchcraft will multiply. And their evil will multiply. If you as a pastor go and lay hands on them, that they blessed. And these are, while those people are evil people. Yeah. So, Paul was telling Timothy that keep yourself pure. be sensitive to the kind of people you interact with, even in the church. So it is not everyone in the church that is born again. It is not everyone in the church that is saved. So we must be sensitive. And don't let the agents of Satan in the church to pull you out of your faith, to pull you out of your relationship with God. Yeah. Looking at Sister Susan's comment, most times the issue is that one of the partners had refused to deal with his or her own loss. In regards to the first example, instead of the man to be questioned about his loss over worldly women and their appearance, he goes on to cover it up by saying, if the wife dresses like that, he will not need to admire them. Then he comes back to say she should dress that way. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. For those of you that joined late, I was talking about the situation of a man who, at the onset of his marriage to the wife, was okay with the way the wife was dressing. Because the wife was dressing moderately and decently, not the worldly type of dresses. But later, as time goes by in the marriage, after some few years, the man began to say he wants the woman to start dressing seductively and worldly, like the people in the world dress. Yeah, and it's not like, okay, maybe the man is saying, dress like this when you are with me in the room, but she has to dress like that on the street. And not only that, the man was asking that she start using all those worldly adornments, or worldly ornaments. So the rest of the story is that a pastor began to make comments like the pastor was saying the woman should obey the husband. Now that the husband told her to start dressing worldly, the pastor gave the comment and said the woman should obey the husband and disobey God so that she can save a marriage. Yeah. So our sister said that is, I mean, she is in support with me because I disagree with the pastor, because that is wrong. Yeah. So according to her comment, she said what they should do is they should question the husband, the church leaders, the church elders should invite the husband and question him why all of a sudden you are now admiring women wearing such kind of dresses, and now you want your wife to dress like them. This wasn't who you are before you got married. Yeah, so I think that should be the approach the church leaders should follow, not telling the wife to obey the husband and start dressing worldly. Yeah, so that's a good comment. Yeah. I was really disappointed when I heard that pastor give that comment. May God deliver us. So we are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have exposed to us through your word this evening. Thank you for showing us how we must not embrace compromise, how we must not tolerate ungodly ways. Thank you for showing us that we must be vigilant and sensitive at all times to not try to please people at the expense of pleasing you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here a new fear of you. Help them to have good conscience toward you. In the name of Jesus. Help them to be ready to disobey anyone so as to obey you. In the name of Jesus. Help everyone here, O Lord, to not compromise with the level of wickedness and sinfulness and perversions and idolatry that has filled the head at this time. In the name of Jesus, help those who have ministries and callings, those whom you have given certain assignments to do for you here. Oh Lord, help them to be committed and faithful to the work you have called them to do for you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered.